Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And again, what a blessing it's already been just being in church. If you have your Bibles with you, you have to look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and studying the divisions of the Bible. And after the first five books, which are called the Pentateuch, then we have the next 12 books, or the next division is the division of history. The historical books of the Bible, which actually give us the timeline of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And so we've studied, starting with Joshua. Now, last Sunday night, I believe it was, we studied Ruth. And yet, even though Ruth did not give us, didn't advance the history or the timeline, it gave us insight into some of the things that was taking place during the time of the judges. And then after that, then we get into the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel, we find it picks up the history of Israel after the judges. And so it transitions Israel from the judges to the kings. And there's 115 years of history here in 1 Samuel. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. And we're going to be reading 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Because in this 115 years of history, the Bible focuses on three main characters as we go through the book of 1 Samuel. The first would be that of Samuel, and then the second would be that of Saul, and the third would be that of David, okay, the beginning of David and the history of David. And so 1 Samuel will be, as we're studying the timeline of history, 115 years, the next 115 years, would be really focused on three major characters, and that's what 1 Samuel gives us. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, let's start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, and Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. For thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight again, we thank you for being able to be in church tonight, for the health and the opportunity that you made available to us, and for each one that's here who took advantage of this opportunity and that assembled ourselves together tonight. And I just thank you for what we've already been blessed by. But Lord, I know that you have more for us as we look into the very words that you have preserved for us. And I just pray, as we're studying this book of 1 Samuel tonight and understanding the historical books of the Bible, that you'd give us insight into what you would teach us tonight. And so I pray that each one here would have that ear to hear what you have to say to them. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the three main characters in chapters 1 through 7, we'll find Samuel is the main character. As you study chapters 8 through 15, you'll find that Saul becomes the main character in history. You know, as we're going through the history of Israel, and that's what we're looking at here. The historical books give us a timeline and help us to understand the history of Israel. And then chapters 16 through 31, we find that focuses on David, okay? And so the first one we're looking at here is the call. And we're going to look at, see how each one of them come into play in the nation of Israel's history. And so here we find in chapters 3 and verses 1 and 10 that it's Samuel's call. God calls to Samuel after Eli had failed to do his part. He failed to raise his children right. He failed to keep the light burning in the temple as he was supposed to keep the light burning. And after the light went out, the fire went out, and God rejected Eli, and he called Samuel. That's what's going to be taking place here. So God has already worked through Hannah to give Samuel this opportunity. And that's the first couple chapters. It has to do with Hannah and her prayer, and God blessed her and gave her the child Samuel. But now Samuel is the main focus point here in the history of Israel. So Samuel is seen as the last of the judges. He's also seen as a prophet and a priest. And so Samuel would be somewhat, as he transitioned from the judges to the kings, he could be looked at either as a judge, a prophet, and a priest. And God had a great work for Samuel to accomplish. But on his spiritual journey, we find it began right here in chapter 3. The Bible says that Samuel didn't know the Lord as of yet. He was dedicated to God by his mother, but Samuel had not made that personal dedication as of yet. He had been dedicated to Eli because Eli was somewhat a father figure, and he was being raised at this point by Eli, but he had not heard from God. He had not learned how to hear from the Lord. So his spiritual journey began here by learning how to hear from God. And that's possibly the greatest thing that we learn from the life of Samuel. And because now he knows there is a God, and he understands that God is calling out to him. And Eli did have enough understanding to realize what was taking place with Samuel, and he told Samuel how to hear from God. And he said, when you hear him call, he said to him, speak. Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Humbling himself to let God speak to him. Now, if you look into James in chapter 1, Samuel's testimony to us is learn to listen. Learn to listen to the voice of God. Have you ever heard it? Do you know what to listen for? I guarantee you that if you're saved, you heard the voice of God from inside. His Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit, convicted you, revealed to you that you were lost in need of a Savior, and it was the Spirit of God that revealed to you that Jesus Christ was God's plan for salvation. And you come into that conviction knowing that it wasn't of man, there was something different, and you did what the Spirit of God led you to do. You confessed your sin, called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. After you have been saved, then you have an opportunity. You have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, which is going to speak to you the message of God. Amen. No matter where you're at, God's with you. But if you don't know how to listen to God, you'll never respond as God would have you to respond. Amen. Something that every born-again believer needs to learn is how to listen to God. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's one of the things. Understand that God wants to bless. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God had special plans for humanity. Amen. Now he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, he's writing to the believers, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The most important thing that we need to learn to do as born-again believers is listen to God. Samuel would be mightily used of God to accomplish some great things in the nation of Israel, but if he had never learned how to hear from God and to listen to God, he would not have been able to do any of that. the beginning of his spiritual journey to accomplish everything that God had for him to accomplish began like our spiritual journey begins. Hearing the voice of God. And having a desire to hear it on a regular basis. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to learn to listen. I've said it before, but it's so true. I remember the words of my third grade public school teacher. She had a problem with me talking too much. And she said, "Dan, if you're talking, you're not listening." And I thought, that's true. If I'm talking to my friend next to me, I don't hear anything she says. I hear noise in the background, but I don't understand. I don't hear anything she's saying. And that was a lesson that I need to learn with God. Before I ever speak to God, I need to learn to listen to God. Amen. I used to go to church to listen to a man. After learning how God speaks to us today in this New Testament church age, I started going to church to hear from God. Amen. And that changed everything. It made church something different than what it ever was before. Amen. I used to follow my parents to church. And I used to respect the preaching because they made me respect the preaching and sit quietly and listen. And I just thought that you go to church to listen to the preacher preach. Until I heard from God on a personal level and I wanted to continue to hear from God, and I realized the New Testament church age, God speaks through the preaching of His Word. And when I went to church, I just didn't listen to the preacher. I wanted to hear from God. That's what the Bible teaches. Let me go through a few verses with you here and write them down or listen to me as I just read them to you. But 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, in verse 18, it says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it's the power of God." Amen. Because God speaks to us through that, if we're listening. In verse 21, he says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The world doesn't, a lost man doesn't understand that. They just think you go to listen to a man. But we don't go to church to listen to a man. We go to church because we know that's how God speaks to us. We go to church to listen to God. Chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians, it says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I love what it says over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 5. Write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." A preacher is just a servant of the Lord. Amen. And he's preaching not for you to hear him, but he is preaching as a servant of the Lord. A biblical, a godly preacher is preaching not his ways and his philosophies, but he has studied the very words of God, and he is preaching the very words of God so that you might hear from God. In 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, I'm just letting you see, this is New Testament church age. This is what God says. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2, Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Almighty God. So I'm charging before God for Jesus Christ. He says, preach the word. Amen. Don't just preach, but preach the word. Amen. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. We learn from Samuel how to listen to God. Oh, how we ought to have a desire to hear from Him. We find in 1 Samuel, if you look down with me to chapter 9, we find the next biblical character. And again, the whole Old Testament is for our learning and our admonition that we might learn from them. And so the main thing that I think that we learn from Saul, we find in 1 Samuel, it reveals a second character from chapters 8 to chapters 15, is a Bible character named Saul, who would be the first king of Israel, the very first king of Israel. And 1 Samuel chapter 9 in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth, and the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. The Bible paints a great picture of Saul. If you look on down to verse 15, it says, And now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, and that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is coming to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake unto thee of, this same shall reign over my people. So we find here in the history of Israel, after Samuel, then we find that God spoke to Samuel, and God told Samuel as he was hearing, he says, I want you to anoint the first king of Israel. And if you listen to me, you'll know exactly who it is to anoint. And he says, as you listen to me, I'm going to send you a man. And when you see the man, because I will speak to you and I'll reveal it to you, you'll know that he is the one. And when you see him and you know that he is the one, then anoint him to be the next king, the first king of Israel. And so Saul comes on the picture of the history of Israel, the children of Israel. And Saul was a man of great stature, and he was a goodly man. He was a man of great character in the beginning. He was a man that you could look to, and the people would follow after. And he had great potential. There was no one, I don't think, in all the Bible that had any more potential of accomplishing great and mighty things than Saul had. That's what the Bible says about Saul. What we learn from Saul is Saul didn't obey. He heard. He heard. He knew what God wanted him to do. But Saul didn't obey. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, as we study this history, we're learning from the history. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, now Saul is king. And he's been instructed. He knows exactly what God wants him to do. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, after the fact, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God. You knew what God wanted you to do, but you didn't do it. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Saul, if you would have just remained obedient, if you would have continued to lead Israel as God wanted you to lead Israel, you had great potential. There would have been no end to your kingdom. God would have continued to use you for your entire life. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So as we study the nation of Israel and the history, we find this first king, Saul, that had such great potential. But because he rejected God's word, God would reject him. In chapter 15, in verse 22 and verse 23. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What a great verse in the Bible. God doesn't want your sacrifices, he wants your obedience. Amen. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So from this second main character in the history of Israel, we learn to obey God. Once you learn how to hear from God, you're accountable to what you know. You're accountable for how the Spirit of God wants to lead us and direct us. God wants you to be obedient. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. You can't do it God's will if you don't hear from God. But once you learn to hear from God, then we need to do what he says. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, at first, I respected the church's rules. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. When I got my heart right with God and I surrendered to serving God, I started attending an independent fundamental Baptist church, because when I walked into that church, I sensed the presence of God. When I left the preaching of that church, I knew that God spoke to me. I knew that God spoke to me. But I didn't understand everything. But I respected the church's rules, standards, and doctrines, because I just figured that it's a biblical church. They're preaching the word of God, even though I don't understand it all right now. If they say that men should not have long hair, I got a haircut. They say that men need to look like men and dress like a man, then I started dressing that way. I changed from my old way of life, and I started changing how I'd live, because I just respected the church, because I felt like it was teaching me the word of God. Because when I went to church, I heard from God. I understood that's how God worked. At first, I respected the church's rules and standards and doctrines. But I desired to know what scriptures they based them on. I wanted to do it, and at first I respected it, but I said, all right, but I want to learn. Why do we have these rules? Why do we have these convictions? Why is this a doctrine? Why do we hold to this doctrine? I desired to know what the scriptures they used were, so that I could obey God. Do you understand that? It wasn't enough just to obey a man. It wasn't enough just to listen to a man preach. I listened to a man to start with, but once I understood how God worked, I went to listen to get from God. I wanted to hear from God, and I knew that God would work through the anointing of a man who was called to preach His Word. And if he had the Bible, he was preaching the Word, then God would speak to me through that. Then I learned that it's important to obey God. I understood that obedience was something that God is going to hold every one of us accountable for. And so I didn't want to base my obedience upon what a man told me. I didn't want to base my obedience on what the Baptist church taught me. I didn't want to base my obedience on what any church would say. I wanted to make sure that I based my obedience to God. That's what I wanted to know. I'll respect it, but you have to give me some scriptures, something to help me to know why we have those standards, why we have that conviction, why you say this is doctrine, and why I should do this, and why I should do that. Because basically, I want to base my obedience on what God says. Once you learn how to hear from God, Samuel, then you understand the importance of obedience, Saul. Then you come to David, chapter 16, 1 Samuel, chapter 16. All of this is in the history of Israel. You learn from it. You study it. 1 Samuel is a powerful book in the Bible that's given you three main characters, and there's something to learn from each one of them concerning God's will for our lives today. Yeah. So we look to now David's call. Chapter 16 and verse 1 says this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel," he's working through Samuel. Samuel's still listening. Samuel knew how to listen. He was just obedient. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Verse 11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I've been listening to God, and he's hadn't told me any one of these are yet the right one. He paraded every one, his oldest son first, the biggest and the strongest. He said, I know how to hear from God, and no, I'm sorry. God hasn't spoke to me concerning this one or that one, and now you say you're out of sons, but yet God told me you had a son that I was to anoint." Because he knew how to hear from God. Yeah. "And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. I've got a mission. I am doing the Lord's work, and I'm going to accomplish what God told me to do." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and willow, a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But yet he went back to tending sheep for a while. But he would never forget this anointing. David would not fully understand, but what he would learn to do is simply trust. As he was bringing his brother's lunch, Spirit of God said, go fight the giant. Have you ever said, wait a minute, Lord, not real sure. I want to hear, but I'm really not sure that's what you told me to do. Yeah. Are you sure that's what you want me to do in this situation? And but David learned to trust. He had been trained to trust when he had to go up against the lion and the bear. And he's seen, amazed at what he could do with the hand of God upon his life. He was amazed at the power that God would give him to be able to do the work that he called him to do. And he was able to slay the bear and slay the lion. And when he got to the Philistine and the Spirit of God says, I want you to go take him down, David trusted in God and had no problem going up against Goliath. And he had no problem defeating him because he didn't trust in his own abilities. He trusted in God because he had learned from Samuel, how to hear from God. He had learned from Saul how he needed to obey God and not to reject God. And he himself learned to trust. As he faced Goliath, as he became the captain of the host of the army of Israel, and he led them to victory against the Philistines, David has slain his 10,000s. And then as he had to learn to trust in God when he was having to flee a backslidden King Saul who wanted him dead. David stood up against Goliath when Saul was afraid to fight Goliath. David was not afraid of Saul. But David realized this is God's anointed. And I'm going to wait for God to deal with his anointed. If that means me having to leave, then I'm going to leave. If that means me having to live in the rocks and to run from him and to hide out in the caves, if that's God's will for my life, then that's what I'll do. But I'll not lift my hand against God's anointed. I'll leave that up to God. Wow. He trusted God. Known how to deal with the backslidden King Saul. In closing tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians. This is just the history of the nation of Israel that we're to learn from. And the first book of 1 Samuel gives us three characters that are powerful lessons from each one of their lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul writes to the church. Verse 8 says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is the Apostle Paul. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Can I tell you, New Testament Christianity learned from all three of these Bible characters. God would have us to know and spend time listening to him. Once you learn how to listen to God, then God wants you to be obedient to what he says to you. And as you find yourself being obedient to what he says to you, don't think it's some strange thing to have to go through some trials and testings and some tribulations maybe. But in all of it, trust. Because God is able to to see you through any and all circumstances of life. What a powerful lesson from the book of 1 Samuel on these three main characters that God would have us to learn from. If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. Learn from Samuel to listen. Learn from Saul on how to obey. Learn from David how we need to trust. Powerful lessons that every Christian needs to learn. Now, Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for 1 Samuel and for the opportunity to be in church to hear it presented and to preach it and to study it and to learn from it. And Lord, I pray tonight as we have presented this first book of Samuel and what you have given to us in this, and I pray as we have preached it, God, that we would learn and be strengthened by it as a people, as a church. There's someone here that's not, has never received you as Savior. They've never heard from you, never learned how to listen to your voice. I pray tonight they would learn that. There's some here tonight that know better, but are living in rebellion and justifying it. However, help us to learn the lesson of obedience and the importance that you're not looking for sacrifice, you're looking for obedience. And others that might be going through some very rough times, might not even understand how they're going to make it through. Help us to learn to put our trust in you. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.